Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
What's up, Max Living Nation? This is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin, and we are excited to have another episode today of the Max Living Podcast. We're here to help you align your health. And today we're talking about detoxing our mental health.
Yes. I think that detox is an appropriate topic right now because I don't know technically if it is or isn't, but I'm calling it spring. I'm done with my jacket. I'm calling it spring. I'm all the way in.
It's golf season.
No more sweater. I mean, well, I guess, I'll just wear a sweater, no jacket. That's the middle line that I'll meet at. Maybe not short sleeve shirts yet, but listen, I'm calling it spring. So detox is a very appropriate topic right now. And the idea of mental health is such a beautiful concept that I love we're going to dive into it today.
Yeah, come on, let's be honest about where we've been the last 2 years. We're not going to say the C word. We're not going to use the P word when it comes to, 2020 and beyond.
Right.
But what we are going to say is it's time to get all of the nonsense out of our head. Let's be honest. Everything that we believed going into this that we were told wasn't true, we're finding out it wasn't true, just like
right,
we said.
Right.
This virus turns out it's very much like other viruses.
Right.
How you maintain your health turns out it's pretty much the same thing.
Still
it's what
important.
We've been talking about. Like those five essentials right. of like fitness matters, oxygenation matters, moving around matters, taking the right supplements and getting the right nutrition matters.
Right.
Like
all these things.
Chiropractic care matters. Your mindset matters.
Yes.
And so one of the things we've noticed over the last 2 years is that there's been this, degradation of just mental health and that. So what we found appropriate is rather than just talking about like why or anything like that, like forget why. Who cares? It's like when people come into our chiropractic office and they have subluxations in their spine that are creating, which are for those of you who aren't patients, those are vertebra that are out of alignment, that are putting pressure on nerves and causing damage to the way our brain communicates with our organs, which eventually leads into dysfunction and ultimately disease because that organ isn't able to heal and function well. So knowing that, so often people come into our office and they're like, how do you think that happened? And the reality is, as a doctor sitting in front of you and you're 40 years old, I have no idea.
Right.
There's a history right. there that I don't know. But what we do know is how to correct it and get it back on track. I don't know where everybody's mental health challenges come from. Like some
right.
people have been through some serious traumas.
Yes.
Some people, we're going to get into a little bit about perception of traumas and perception of health.
Right.
Because I think that's the key to getting through this is really acknowledging, what's there. But we're going to talk about several steps to detoxing our mental health and what that looks like.
Right. So we're going to walk out of this episode and we're going to have some very clear steps, three clear steps to boost your mental health and three powerful ways that you can cleanse your mind. And I think that this episode is really going to be transformative.
It is going to be transformative because mindset literally is everything. Mindset is the beginning. Like you don't make a change. Like you don't pursue a chiropractor until you've developed the mindset that you're unhappy and something needs to change. You don't start working out and you don't change your physiology until you've made a decision. You've had the mindset developed that like I'm no longer okay with this or my future is going to look different or whatever that looks like. But you will not make a change until your mindset has changed first. So if you're in a negative mood, you're going to see the world in a very negative way. And so today we're just going to be teaching you how to cleanse your mind and really shift your focus from that of like victim mentality and things that are happening, focusing on that which is good and the things that you can control and what you can do from that point on.
Okay, so let's jump right into it. First thing, first tip, first action step, first concept that we want you to walk away with is how we're going to dive into how you perceive stress. So I've heard you give this example before and I love it. It's one of the, like in terms of mental health, it's such a game changer of, of the perception of stress and of what you're doing. So lots of different scenarios. And so I'm a mom, I have three kids, I'm at home. It's chaotic to say the least. I work, a lot of my kids are not tiny babies anymore, but I got a good range of them, but there's a lot of chaos that's happening. It's loud. It's boisterous. Things
are going
on.
Two
dogs are barking. Dinner's got to go. Work's got to get finished. Kids got their stuff to go to, their activities. You can walk into our house at any given moment and I will feel stress. You will feel stress. A stranger might walk in and feel stress and it might feel completely overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
To anybody in that scenario. But if someone who for the last 10 years has been infertile and dying to have a kid and their deepest, darkest desire for the world is that they want a children
Start
and they
a
want
a family.
They want height. They want a house. They want this husband, kids, family, dogs. Like I
Two
want all of those
dogs.
Things.
They want chaos and they want craziness yes. and they can't wait till their house yes. is buzzing and stirring with excitement. And they walk into your house, which is already having that. And it's literally like their heart's desire.
Right. There's not stress there.
No. And
they're excited.
Or if anything, they have a different stress, which is they're feeling like, am I ever going to have this? And they might perceive it in a different way. They might look at it, envy it, love it. They might feel joy in it, or they might right. be stressed in their own way for totally different reasons that the things that are stressing you out in a negative way are stressing them out. Like, oh, this is such a positive and I don't have this yet. And I want this.
Right.
And it, so what we're here to tell you first and foremost is step number one is understand that stress is perceived. It's not real.
Yes.
That don't get me wrong. If I lit
that
a match,
scenario is real,
if I right? lit a match and put fire to your feet, the heat will cause enough stress to where eventually you will pull your foot away.
Yes.
Right. But there is also this element of how they used to do Chinese torture where they would take scalding hot water and they would just drip it on one drip at a time.
Yes.
Right. And eventually what would happen is they'd build a tolerance and this person could literally have like massive burns going on, but they didn't even know how bad it was.
Right.
Or the frog in the proverbial pot
right.
that if you threw a frog into a pot of boiling water, it's instantaneous and he dies. But if you slowly turn the pot up over time, so a lot of it is what are we actually experiencing and perceiving and how are we adapting to it?
Right.
And a lot of that is not the mental adaptation to a true physiological express. It's the perceived amount of stress that they're under due to how you've been conditioned to look at the world.
Yes.
So this is where like moms and dads, this is where you lean in and listen.
Right.
And if you are under a lot of stress, this is where you lean in and listen, because what we're talking about is that your current ability to adapt to stress is based on the way that you were, the way you managed stress in the past and what you did to allow that stress to affect your life.
Right.
And so our goal would be that we, you know, go through some of these and give you some techniques to where you can actually start perceiving stress from a different angle. I'll give another example of that.
Yes.
You know, some people love to read. Like reading is so. Well, first of all, going into the idea that we perceive that there are things that are stressful to our body, but we also know that there are certain things that are stressful to our body but cause us to grow. So for instance, working out.
Yes.
Working out is a stressor. In fact, there are days I love it. There are days I do not love it because of the stress.
Right.
But we know that it'll have a net positive gain given there's no injury. So we understand that working out, reading, meditation, prayer, that these things take time. They can be a stressor, but they're a positive stress, if you will.
A net gain, right?
A net yeah. gain. So they're quantified or classified as a eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, eustress. And so that is the good type of stress that you want to ideally, you know, be subject to on a very regular basis. Now, there's this other type of stress that's called a distress.
Yes.
And that's just like someone's berating you.
Yeah.
Like there's not necessarily a positive to it, although right. I would argue that there is.
Right.
That you get into a car accident. Like what positive can come out of the car accident, right?
Right. So loss of a family member, miscarriage,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
any of those things. Any of those things could be classified as distress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
So here's the thing is you can't necessarily minimize your distresses. Most of them are things that you didn't have any choice over in the
any
first
control
place.
Over, right.
And you can't necessarily, there's no way of treating those distresses because there's no drug in the world that's going to do it. So what we found is the most effective way of combating distress is by increasing your eustress. So this is why like breathing techniques and meditation and yoga and, you know, chiropractic and all these things are use stresses that they have a large net positive gain towards your emotions and your general well-being in terms of mindset. And so what we have to do is increase our use stresses, and it doesn't necessarily decrease our distresses. It's just that we spend more time in this area and our shift and our focus goes over to use stress and out of distress.
Right.
And so our mental health starts to move in a positive adaptative way because it's all about adaptation. We start becoming more adaptative towards the stress.
And maybe that threshold for your ability, maybe with all of those things that you're doing, maybe that threshold for your ability to handle those, that distress, like why do some people walk through something that would be considered a traumatic distress event in their life? Why do some people walk through it with grace? And then why do some people struggle harder with it? And maybe that threshold gets higher and higher, but I think that there's also a counter argument in there, right? And that counter argument would be, I'm going to bring it at you right now.
I want to hear what it is.
Right. And the counter argument would be what if there was no such thing as distress? Like what if distress was a perception,
not a reality.
And what if any single item, because you know, and this is a challenge as a parent, is that you want to
give you 100 examples of this.
Right. I can give you one from my personal life too. And it kind of relates to that mom example that we talked about before. We had multiple miscarriages right before we had kids. And so some people will walk into my house and be like, wow, there's chaos and there's noise and this is overwhelming and I can't take it. And I'm sitting in the middle of it, like in happy tears. Because I can take myself back into a place of time immediately. Like I can be right back in those moments, those like really horrible, ugly, painful moments of loss and of sadness and of, are we ever going to be able to have a kid? And like, what's this ever going to be like?
Right. I'm coming right now.
Right. I know. I get emotional right now just thinking about it. And I can still go back to those moments right now. So like in the times when like there's fighting or there's chaos or there's anything going on in the house, I'm still like just happy as a clam. And like, why is that? Right. Because I can just put myself right back in that moment and what would have been distress and it would have been horrible. And then I got to a place where I realized like, oh my gosh, like I'm a different kind of parent because of what I went through. And it's beautiful. It's been such a gift.
Oh, it is. Oh man. It's such a mindset shift. I remember I got into a car accident when you and I first met.
Yeah.
And, it was the last car accident I was in where it wasn't on my dime. You know what I mean? Like my parents were still helping
out with some
things. And my dad had just put new tires and brakes in my car. And I was in a situation where somebody was in the wrong lane and they were trying to turn in a weird way and they were going to cause an accident. So I tried to get around them. And at the last minute, I looked up and the light was red. And I knew there's no way I'm stopping. So, you know, I'm not opposed to like blowing a red light if I have to. But I had to look around first to make sure that I wasn't putting anybody else's life in jeopardy. And unfortunately, this 80-year-old woman had pulled out to turn left, and I was going to hit her broadside right in her door. Oof. And so I hit the brakes, and I pulled the wheel, and I swerved the car, and I clipped the front of her car. My car rolled, tore off the front wheels on my car and all this, and it was bad. It was definitely a distress.
Yes. Yep.
And I remember my dad was really upset by this because he had just put brand new tires and brakes in my car and it cost like $700 to $1,000. And so, but there came a point where in that frustration, anger, the car was destroyed or whatever, he was mad that at some point in time through prayer or meditation or something, he had this epiphany that had I not put those tires and brakes on that car, he might have not made it and he might have killed that old woman.
Right.
And so stress has everything to do with perception and perspective.
Yes.
And not necessarily anything to do with the actual moment and things that are happening, the actual facts of the matter.
Right.
One of my favorite movies in the entire world is Life is Beautiful by Roberto Benigni.
Right.
And if you've never seen this movie, you should, because, man, I still have tears rolling in my face from when you're talking. But in Life is Beautiful by Roberto Benigni, he is in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany, in Auschwitz, and he is with his son, separated from his wife. He doesn't know where his wife is or if she's going to survive or whatever. He has every reason to be scared, terrified, sad, angry, whatever it is. lost all of his rights. He's in a uniform, you know, and put in bunkers, and he's got his kid. In fact, he had to hide his kid. His kid was going to be taken away, and God knows what happened to him. So he decides to hide his child in this space. And all the while, he's teaching his kid, no, nothing serious. This is just a game.
Yes.
We're playing a game.
Yeah.
And those soldiers out there, they're trying to find you. And if you wait till the very end, we win an army tank.
Oh, that's so good.
And so he's teaching his son that they have to play by the rules of the game. And so the reality is it's Nazi Germany. It's probably one of the worst situations in the history of the face of the world.
Right.
Or one of the top, you know, several. And then the reality is that, like, they don't have food. They don't have this. So he's having to come up with answers and solutions of why this is part of the game.
Yes.
And he's choosing an alternate reality and an alternate perception for his son.
Right.
And at the end of the movie, his son makes it through Nazi Germany, spoiler alert, and he's pretty much unscathed by what he's experienced throughout the whole process. In fact, he doesn't even witness any of the trauma or horror to it until the very, very, very end, where then it's over.
Right.
And he still thinks it's a game when he finds the mom and is reunited with her.
Yeah.
And so the reality is that was the worst situation that you could, a human being could potentially face. But the other reality was this kid has no idea of that because of the perception that he had based on the reality that his father created for him. And here's the thing, that we have the power to do that.
Yes.
And we have the power to do it for ourselves. Our parents had the power to do it for us. We have the power to do it for our children.
Yes.
In either direction.
Right.
That we can create an alternate reality that's amazing. If this is real in the middle, we can create over here this more ethereal, more, you know, like life is beautiful type of thing, that adaptation is power, that we're gifted to overcome, that we're resilient, hard work is hard. I love to work. You know, these mindset things that, like, one of the ones in my gym that I love, it says easy doesn't work.
Right. Yes.
And it's just a mindset shift. So I'm lifting in front of that.
It's absolutely true. And I think, you know, Viktor Frankl wrote in Man's Search for Meaning and a similar thing, a similar testimony coming out of Nazi Germany during what those atrocious things that were happening. And his thesis, you know, almost was that finding meaning deep inside of those experiences and holding on to that to be able to get you through. And so if there is a necessary means of how you perceive stress, and if there's a necessary way that you need to, there will be people that come into your life and say, come back down to reality. Get stressed out with me.
Yeah.
I'm living this stressed out life.
Misery loves company, right? People love to commiserate. Like, the reason the word misery is in commiserate, like, people love to commiserate together.
Miserable.
I mean, how many of you guys think about it? You're like, unfortunately, it's people we love. It's our grandmothers, our grandfathers, whatever. They sit around and they talk about everyone who's sick and dying and all the torment they're going through. And, oh, Jane just got diabetes. And, you know, and Bob went to the doctor and all these things. And so the reality is they're all still alive. They're alive.
They're alive.
And they're people choosing choices.
Yes.
And they don't realize the power they have. And maybe we should be talking about, like, how Bob could have made a better decision or whatever that looks like, whatever. But, like, I go over and I love my grandmother, but I used to go to my grandmother's house and it was, like, literally gloom and doom, all this. Like, what do you think that's ever going to produce? So, number two, how our body is able to adapt to stress. Like, we're able overcome that, like, from every, I think, I don't know every religion because I only know mine really well, but I will tell you that from a religious perspective, I believe that we're designed to overcome.
Right.
I believe that we're designed to
heal.
Yeah. Mindsets are designed to challenge us. Like, the example I was going to give earlier is, you know, people love reading. That's great. Give a book to a dyslexic child.
Right.
Now a eustress becomes a distress.
Yes.
But it's all perspective and perception too. Like, look at Ray Charles. If you ever watched the Ray Charles movie, the Ray Charles story, his mom knew he was going to be blind. And so she figured out ways of working with it that caused him to overcome. And because he was able to overcome, this guy had an amazing career in music. Like, I can see the piano keys and I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yes. exactly.
And this guy couldn't see him. And
I could
knew.
See the notes. I could see the charts. I could see YouTube. I could do anything and I can't do it. Yes.
It's remarkable that as human beings, if you ever want to see something amazing, just go to YouTube and type in humans are awesome.
Yeah.
And then watch those videos and you're like, the potential we have is incredible.
Incredible.
But everything you're watching are people overcoming.
Yes.
People overcoming situations. And you do not ever, ever, ever overcome unless your mindset is one of a growth mindset, not a fixed mindset.
Yes.
Victim mentality never wins, ever, ever wins. The world is not happening to you. It's happening for you.
Yes.
Is that the truth? I don't know. What we know is the people that believe it do better. The people who believe that the world's happening to them do worse. So I don't know where that is. We can sort this out with God or whoever one day when we get there. But the reality is we know that people who perceive that the world is working for them, their life tends to go better. And so overcoming has to do with what is your perception and what are you doing with that perception?
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting to talk about that intangible. There's something intangible about our body, right? Our body is a very tangible thing. Stress is an intangible thing. It's very ethereal. It's like you can't grab it. You can't hold onto it. You can't punch it. You can punch a pillow. You can't punch stress, right? And so, but that intangible thing affects the physical, right?
Sure.
And so being able to like connecting that ethereal to the actual physical is a crazy concept, right? And then how you're, because that can affect the physical, how you're managing the physical. Is your nervous system communicating clearly?
Well, I think so often that what happens is people are feeling so stressed and then it starts to show up in a physiological response.
Yes.
And then they think they have to fix it from a physiological standpoint.
Right.
It's not often a physiological problem.
Yes.
It's a mindset. So here's, in my opinion, number one, what's your mindset look like?
Yes.
Fix your mindset first. Number two, how are you going to deal with the stress if you're incapable of adapting properly? So fix your nervous system.
Right, exactly. And I think that that's exactly where I was going with it, is that if you are subluxated, if your nervous system is not communicating correctly,
then you're not going to be able to take the the ethereal or whatever you want to call it, the mindset thing, and have it transform and translate into a better physiological response.
Yes.
There's interference in the way. So I still believe that mindset is first, because in order for someone to decide to go to a chiropractor and get their nervous system checked, they first had to make a decision.
Yes.
So mindset always comes first.
Yep.
And so number one, you know, do you have a victim mindset or do you have a growth mindset? Are you coming at this from a perspective of possibility or a perspective of punishment? Number two, is your nervous system healthy?
Yes.
If your nervous system's healthy and the adaptation is possible, then number three, now how are you supporting the effects of the stress, negative stressors on your body? And what are you doing to stimulate eustress? Those are the three steps. Fix your mindset, correct your nervous system, follow through with the other essentials that are supportive to good adaptation and are discouraging to poor adaptation.
Right.
That's all it is. It's that simple.
Yes.
So, you know, how can you do some of this? Some of the turning points, you know, like we can't decrease stress, but how can you turn down the dial in a stressful situation? Change your language. Change your behavior.
That's such a big one too, right?
Did this on the way here. You were calling me. You were like, hey, I'm feeling a little stressed. Can you talk me down a little bit? Yeah. So I lowered my excitement. I lowered my voice. Normally for this, like for podcasts, we're ramping it up, getting excited.
Right.
And, you know, tone it down. That was one of the things first. And like,
and
hey, how are you feeling? Like, what are you feeling right now?
And it's not, I'm having a horrible morning. It's toning down the language of that. Yeah. Of, hey, this morning's
been a little challenging.
This has been a little bit challenging. Yeah. And I'd like to, you know, like turning down that language, finding points of gratitude.
That's such a great one because like, oh man, when you're thankful for something and you're expressing gratitude for something, you can't also be like caught in this fear, discouragement, whatever.
Right.
Because like, for instance, if Roberto Benigni in this movie and he's in this concentration camp locked in fear or whatever, but he's grateful that his son is at least in his presence and that his wife and his son aren't gone, then now he realizes I'm grateful that he's here and I have an opportunity in this. That gratitude and that opportunity will kill the fear of the fact of where they're at to some degree.
Yes.
Not maybe entirely, but now he knows, oh my gosh, he's here and I have an opportunity to do something different. And so that gratitude is one of the best things you can possibly do to decrease the level of stress you're feeling at any given moment.
And I think here's what I would wrap up with. The idea that Your mental health manages how you deal with stress, and it is not the reverse. The stress does not determine your mental health, right?
It's such a great point.
It's not like it's
people
like
people feel like I'm under all this stress, and so I'm feeling anxiety, so I need to go out and take an anti-anxiety medication. No.
Right, because there are people in stressful situations, and they are not taking that anti-anxiety medication, or they're handling it well, or whatever's happening. That
let's just be really clear right now. And I love all of our youth or whatever, but we have 15-year-olds taking algebra tests who feel like they're under so much stress that they need to be on an antidepressant. You have world leaders and or CEOs running companies that are responsible for hundreds of thousands of people that are enjoying their lives. So you have to look at this from who actually is under more stress.
Right.
Absolutely. I don't want to minimize anybody's given their ability to adapt to it. But the reality is there are people under massive amounts of, challenges, stress. But what they've done is they've adapted in such a way that every challenge that they face, every time they adapted, it afforded them the ability to deal with more stress.
Right.
And so what we're saying is your adaptability,
yes,
your mindset, your strength of your mindset, your fortitude is what causes your mental health and your, and how you perceive that stress, not the other way around.
To be able to handle that, right. Because
you're
there's
not
zero.
A victim of your thoughts.
No, you're not.
Your brain's health and your adaptative strength is what helps you to formulate a healthy mindset.
There's zero expectation that a 15-year-old kid taking an algebra test would be able to handle the stress of a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company, right? There's zero expectation. So the idea is that there's this journey through life that you build and you grow and you develop and you're able to take on more and that's the growth process, well, right, of mental health.
Yes.
Right? But the idea is that never should we fall victim to the concept that it's stress has caused this situation in my mental health. It's that your mental health manages the way that you deal with stress. So of course, should we remove stressors in our life? Absolutely. If things become too stressful in your life and you realize hey, I need to dial back on this. Hey, I need to, maybe it's changing a job at work. Maybe it's going to a different school. Maybe it's, whatever those things are, there's things that you change in your life, right? But the idea is that when you build your mind, and when you work on your mental health, then the way that you manage stress becomes easier.
Yeah, true. So, all right, let's go back these steps. Number one, changing how we perceive it.
Yes.
Starting with an attitude of gratitude. Number two, getting our nervous system corrected and keeping our nervous system clear so we can adapt well. Number three, nutrition, exercise, and detoxification for our body, because our brain is actually a physical organ. It's part of our body.
Yes.
And then the last thing I would say in this is, your comfort zone, that the more time you spend in it, the smaller it gets. And the more time you start to push the boundaries and get outside of it, the larger it gets. So that's what the adaptation is. So now you've shifted your focus from gratitude and into growth, away from victimhood and, you know, a closed mindset. You've moved into getting your nervous system corrected. Now you're exhibiting these other essentials and you're cleaning up your nutrition and decreasing toxins and your exercise and doing things that physiologically are going to build up a stronger brain, which is your organ of your mindset. And then lastly, now go challenge it. Go
yes.
challenge it in a positive way, because you have to. So that's it. That's what we're here to help you guys with today. And I hope that helped.
Follow us at Max Living Official on Instagram. If you want more mindset content, you want to live a happier life, you want to feel good inside, follow us over there on Instagram at Max Living Official.
We'll see you next week, and we'll see you on the gram.
Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.